Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me again, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there!
And so today we want to talk about those entanglements behind your television set.
Yes, and this actually comes courtesy of one of our listeners. I'll go ahead and read the listener mail.
All right, then.
This mail comes from Brian from Iowa. What's up? Tech Stuff guys, you rule. I have a quick question. Can you do a podcast explaining the differences between all the high-definition hookups for TV? For example, why is it that the video component cord now has three cables, red, blue, and green, instead of the old one yellow one? And move on from there to the HDMI stuff. I know you could do this in email, but I feel like a lot of people are curious on this topic. So if it's no bother, can it be a podcast? Thanks. Well, Brian, it's a huge bother. But we're gonna do it anyway!
You're so positive.
Actually, it's not a bother at all. I'm just giving you the business. So we're going to talk about the different kinds of cables you use to send video feeds and audio feeds as well to and from your television.
All right, then. So where to start?
Let's start with the old ones. Coaxial. Yeah, let's go with coaxial. So coaxial cable. This is the stuff that comes from cable boxes, satellite boxes, that kind of thing. And it carries a signal that has both video and audio in it.
Yeah, it actually can carry quite a bit of information, which is why it's used in those connections. It can work on your cable modem, and, you know, that's a pretty high-speed connection. Alternatives, of course, would be fiber optic, but that's not something that you would plug into your TV. Actually, coaxial has quite a history. It was invented in 1929. So it's been around quite a while.
Right. And it carries a modulated signal.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you have to have some sort of tuner in order to tune into the signal that it's sending. Now, that tuner might be a cable box or a satellite box, or it might be a tuner that's actually in your television set. It all depends on the TV. Actually, most new TVs probably have a basic tuner in there, so you could plug the cable directly from the wall into your television if you so wished. Some cable providers do not like that so much, so you pretty much have to get a cable box for that. But that's your basic video feed and audio feed into a TV set.
Yep.
Besides an antenna, I guess. Because you could get over-the-air broadcast antenna.
Right, right. Well, basically, it's just copper wire.
Yeah.
And it's sheathing, so, you know, that's,
yeah.
That's it.
Basically. It's not that fancy, but it works.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's not it's not necessarily an ideal situation.
No, to do that. You know, you're not necessarily going to get the best quality stuff that way. But let's talk about I wanted to go straight to composite video, really.
Okay, yeah, that's that red, white, and yellow set of cables. Now, of course, only one of those is video.
That's
correct. The red and white are the left and right audio channels.
That's correct. And as Brian pointed out, the yellow is video. Now, he had said, why are component cables why do they come in threes instead of just ones like they used to? Well,
three is a magic number.
And They never came in one cord because it's composite video, not component video. They are two different things. Now, composite video carries the entire video signal in one stream.
Yep. It's compressed to get it in there.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, it's really good for NTSC standard definition video.
Yeah. So we're talking about stuff that was used back in the old days when you'd have these things called VCRs.
Not ringing bells.
No, not here either. But no, this is pretty much the stuff you would see in the old, in older home theater equipment. So VCRs, Super VHS, even things like that. You would hook this up with one of these yellow cords from the box to your television set, and that would give you the video, and not just home theater, but also. Video game consoles. A lot of video game consoles use this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Xbox, my old Xbox came with the composite video cord. You would have to go out and buy a special HD cord if you wanted to get something in higher quality. And that's the thing. The composite video, because it is a compressed signal,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get HD quality video out of that signal.
No.
So even if you have, let's say you bought a DVD player.
I bought a DVD player.
And let's say that you bought an HDTV.
I bought an HDTV.
And let's say that you're using a composite video to hook the DVD player to your HDTV.
Yeah, that. I did that.
Okay, so this is where I would say, you foolish consumer, you have bought all these high quality products and you're using a subpar cable to hook the two up. Now, you may remember we did a podcast ages ago about does cable quality matter?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of came to the conclusion that ultimately it doesn't really matter. Well, that really only counts for within a specific kind of cable.
Right.
Right? Different kinds of cables matter a lot.
Yes.
And this is one of them. So if you were to hook up your DVD player to your HDTV with a composite video cord, you would only get standard video out. You wouldn't be able to view HD content at all because the cable itself is incapable of carrying that information.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't do it.
Since I have some older equipment and am saving up to actually for real buy an HDTV, I still have a jumble of composite cords behind my TV. In fact, I'm using an ABC box to manage because I only have a couple inputs for it.
Is it as easy as 1, 2, 3?
Not quite. Mm. However, I do have one S-Video input on the back of my television.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, S-Video is better than composite video.
Uh-huh.
It's still not HD.
No.
It doesn't carry an HD signal. Now, S-Video, it separates the signal into two signals.
Mm-hmm.
The video signal, I should say. You have your luminance signal, which is the level of white in whatever the image is at the time,
mm-hmm.
and the chrominance signal, which is the color information.
Right.
So brightness and color essentially is what we're talking about. It gets split up into these two different signals. It's sent to your TV. It gives you a better quality image than you would have with a composite video.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's still not high definition.
Right.
Now, this is kind of confusing for people who bought HDTVs several years ago because S-Video That was one of the new things on these TVs that people were unfamiliar with. And it was on the backs of DVD players, and they just thought, oh, well, this is what HD is.
Right.
Not quite. It's not going to give you the quality that your HD TV is capable of showing, not the full 1080p experience.
Right.
Or 720, I guess, if you're on one of the smaller TVs.
The 1080p experience, isn't that a band?
It should be. Patent pending. Just going to throw that in there.
Is that number four?
I think that's number four. Yeah. If you listeners are keeping track, just let us know how many patents we have pending.
You know, and they're going to put that up out of sequence. So people are going to wonder why we had four patents pending before we had three.
But what we need is we need someone to go out there and create a tech stuff wiki.
Oh, okay.
Create a tech stuff wiki and keep track of all of our episodes and all of the patents we have pending.
That would be nice because then we'd know what it was that we've actually talked about.
I'm sure all of you out there have plenty of spare time on your hands, so go for it. So getting back to cables and S-video.
Actually, the fact that you mentioned the chrominance and luminance, I had the feeling that's going to come up again very shortly.
It probably will. So the nice thing about this, the S-video cable, is that it's a single cable.
That's true, right? Except it doesn't have sound. You still have to use the red and white cables for
sure
sound.
But the nice thing about for a video, yeah, it's just one cable as opposed to the component cables, which we'll get to in a minute. Because it's just the one cable, that means less clutter behind your entertainment system.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you. My entertainment system is cluttered like crazy because I've got, you know, five or six video game consoles hooked up to it. I've got a DVD player. I've got my surround sound system. There are a lot of components to my entertainment system, so I've got a lot of cables. So whenever I have an option to go with a single cable, I think about that quite a bit before going and moving forward and purchasing cables. Now, unfortunately, I didn't get in on the best option available right now because I purchased a television before it became the standard, but we'll get to that as well.
All right, then.
So I guess we can move on to the component video cables.
And these are the cables that Brian was mentioning before.
Right. Now, these come in red, green, and blue, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, red, green, and blue. Mm. And you might first think that these cables split the video into those three colors and that each cable carries that color to your TV and then it magically combines and then you've got a HD screen, because component video is one of the video cables that can transmit HD quality images.
Well, it's only partially magic.
Right. And it's also not true that it's each color. That's not exactly what's happening.
Because one of them, it's actually split into chrominance and luminance again. It's just that there's one luminance and two chrominance.
That is correct. Wow.
I actually researched this one. I'm not just making stuff up.
Yeah, the one wire carries the brightness signal, so that's the luminance. And the chrominance, you've got one that carries a signal that has the difference between blue and the luminance.
And then the other one splits it between the difference in red and the luminance.
That is correct. Wow, look at you. You don't even have an HD TV and you know this stuff. So there are a lot of things on the market now that use these cables, including like the Xbox again. I have an old Xbox. I don't have the Xbox 360, but I've got an old one. And one of the cables you could buy was a component video cable source. And again, does not carry audio. Mm-hmm. So you need a different audio cable to be able to get sound out of your whatever system it is, whether it's a DVD player, video game console, whatever. Otherwise, you're going to have really cool video, but no sound. So unless you really like silent movies that look really, really crisp, you're going to need another set of cables.
You know, it would be really nice if we had, I don't know, one cable that would carry all this stuff.
One cable to rule them all, one cable to bind them, so to speak.
Well, actually, that would depends on how long the cable is, but okay.
All right. So HDMI.
That'll work.
That'll work. That's your high-definition multimedia interface cable. And this has become more or less the standard for HD cables with televisions and components moving forward. And it's a darn good one because it does carry HDI uncompressed video. It can carry uncompressed video and audio. So now you can get high quality audio and video using one cable. And it's really impressive stuff. Now, as I was mentioning earlier, the reason why I use the component video cables is because my television does not have an HDMI input port.
Gasp.
So I can't use it. And even if I could, I don't think that my DVD player has one either. So I wouldn't have anything to plug it to. Plus my DVD player broke ages ago. So I'm in desperate straits. I watch all my DVDs on my Mac now.
I use my PlayStation 2 to watch DVDs.
So, here we are talking about high-quality cables, and we're like, all my equipment broke. I do have it on my list of things to do, buy new stuff, but that's going to have to wait for a little while. Anyway, HDMI. So there's some great things about HDMI. For one thing, you've got that one single cable that carries everything. That's and it's also always being updated with new features. So it's one of those standards that's constantly evolving. It's not going to be something that is out of date in 3 or 4 months, because fortunately they being the organizations behind the HDMI standard work on making sure that it continues to meet the needs of consumers. So that's a good thing about HDMI as well, as opposed to some of the older methods, which were invented, serve their purpose, and now, I mean, they still work. They just don't work any better than they did way back when. There's some other things that are maybe not quite as good.
Okay.
There's no locking mechanism on an HDMI cable.
So anybody could just rip it right off the back of your TV and take off?
Well, that could happen. Or you could, jostle it while you're moving your components around falls out. And if you're like me and you have a television system where if something falls, it means you have to pull the damn TV all the way back out from the wall again. I've got a 51-inch television, and it's the kind on wheels. It's not a flat panel. We're talking, it's not a flat panel display. So, if something falls, then I have to move the whole TV out. And of course, since I've got so many cables connected to the thing from all the different video game systems, and some of them are rather taut, it means I have to start disconnecting stuff from other things in order to get this one cable that's fallen out. Now, granted, unless you're moving your system around a lot, it's probably not going to happen.
Being the operative word here.
Another thing that it has is, it has HDCP copy protection.
Yes. And you're a fan of the copy protection, as I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. I love copy protection. Let me tell you.
He goes on and on about that. Anybody who'll listen,
Because,
I love copy protection, Jonathan
says. I think it's the best thing ever to prevent me from exercising fair use
of your stuff
of
that you
the
bought.
The stuff that I own. I think it's the best thing in the world if I purchase something and I have absolutely no way of creating a backup copy for my own personal use, so that heaven forbid something happens to the original, I don't have to go out and purchase the thing that I've already bought once again.
Is that a soapbox on the floor?
I'm sorry. I kind of liked it.
I'm just asking. So the copy protection is actually built into the cable.
Yeah, it's that's kind of irritating. And then there's some incompatibility issues that were in some of the early HDMI cables, where you couldn't get the HD content from one source to your TV. Most of those have been worked out in subsequent cables. But if you bought them early on, you might have experienced some problems. Now, that's not the only kind of cables that you can hook up to your TV. So we can talk about a few others. There's the digital visual interface.
DVI?
Yes, DVI.
It's actually very similar to HDMI, is it not?
It's pretty similar, although it has one advantage.
Let me guess. No copy protection?
Well, I was going to talk more about some of them don't support HDCP. But it does have copy protection. So that's not it. No, it has little screws that you can screw in.
Oh, okay. You were so excited about it, I figured it was the copy protection.
No.
So DVI does have copy protection.
Yes. Yes, it does. And if you have a monitor or a television that doesn't support HDCP, it's not going to be compatible with whatever the source is for your video.
Okay.
So then you won't be able to display it. And so this is one of those things where you have to make sure that your devices are compatible with one another before you use it. It looks like a little computer port, the kind that you would have on the back of any, you know, monitor or on a computer card and you're on your desktop PC, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And like I said, you can actually secure that one with little screws so it doesn't pop off like the HDMI could. So there's that. Then there's if you want to take a step back, there's the VGA connectors as well, which also look like, again, this is something that you would see in computer monitors usually, but some televisions have them. Mm-hmm. And it would allow you to maybe hook up your computer to your television so that you could use your TV as a giant computer monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So some old HDTVs have them. Some old set-top boxes have them. It does have the little thumb screws again, so you can secure your cable to your TV. It's not really common. So, I mean, hardly anyone talks about it. Really, the most common ones you're going to see are the composite, component, S-video, and HDMI.
Yep.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if S-video started to kind of quietly go away.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, composite has been around, and it's still leading a hearty, robust life.
Well, and if you have any legacy hardware, like any VHS-type stuff or old Laserdisc players or anything like that, if you have anything like that, you need that composite video input or else, you know, your that's when your equipment really becomes obsolete because you no longer have anything that can display the video.
Well, put it this way. I've got legacy stuff that's already got tons and tons of composite cables and then one S-video input on my older TV. When I do upgrade to HD, I'm going to want HDMI. So.
Right. Well, I got to say that one thing about component video that's kind of nice is that it does not have copy protection.
Ah.
So you might want to go with that because you don't have to worry about, you know, no longer being able to make copies.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about audio for a second.
Okay, let's talk about audio for a second.
So you really have a couple different options. I mean, you've got the HDMI, which carries audio on its own.
Right.
But then you also have the red and white cables, which, as you pointed out, carry the right and left speakers, audio signals. Well, you also have one other option, digital.
Digital.
Optical.
Hmm.
Yeah, the optical audio output. This is uses fiber optics.
Ah, okay.
And it transmits audio through light.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's
so,
fancy.
I mean, is that the best way to listen to, I don't know, ELO? You know, the Electric Light
Electric
Orchestra?
Light Orchestra? Yes, it's the only way to listen to ELO. way I listen to ELO.
Fiber optic does have an enormous bandwidth.
Yes.
Just a very fragile cable.
Right, and it provides really good sound. It's not necessarily the full stereo sound that you would expect from a real, like, big home theater system. For those you usually have... you'll actually have a setup where you'll have feeds going to very specific speakers. So, you know, front right, front left, center, back left, back right, and then, you know, your
left foot blue.
Subwoofer is what I was going to say, but all right. So, but the optical cable, it provides pretty good sound. I mean, really good sound, really. And that's what I have with my Xbox. You know, my Xbox with the component video cord, I have an optical audio cord, which connects from the Xbox directly to my sound system, bypasses the television completely. So those are the other kind of audio cables you might have. Let's see, I think we pretty much covered all the basic cables on a television. As we said, the ones you're more likely to see are your composite, component, S-video, and HDMI. Component might actually go away as well, not because it's an inferior product, but because it doesn't support copy protection. So you were starting to see movie studios and television studios really put pressure on manufacturers to stop supporting component video cables because they don't want their material to get copied like crazy. So that's unfortunate because it does provide a very good picture.
Well, you know, once DRM gets involved, people are very, very serious about protecting their intellectual property from perceived threats.
Yeah. Let's not go there. That's just going to make me angry all over again.
Okay.
How about we, do you have anything else to say about cables?
No, not really.
All right. We're all tied up on the cables thing. Then. So Brian, I hope that answers your question. Matt, you can write to us later and tell us all the things we got wrong. Or I'm you can sure talk you to us as soon as we stop recording. I mean, he is capable of speaking, folks. He's not a mime or a mute. But this brings us to our second bout of a listener mail.
Thank you.
Now, this listener mail, we actually have a duo. I have two listener mails, so strap yourselves in.
All right.
The first one comes from Hayden, who is 13 years old, from Eastford, Connecticut. And he says, hi, guys. I was just listening to your augmented reality podcast and the listener mail, and you guys were talking about first-person shooters. Personally, I like shooters on the Wii. I don't know. Just wanted to tell you guys what I think. I actually think that the Wii is pretty cool for first-person shooters, too, mainly because you can use the Wiimote as, you know, you can aim it like a little gun. And, in fact, there are plenty of add-ons out there where you can slip the Wiimote into a gun casing and use it as a light gun. Here's another one, though. This one comes from Eric. Jonathan Strickland and Chris Pollitt. I think he meant Paulette. I would very much love to see a Tech Conspiracies podcast come out soon. Maybe you could bump that up the list. I would also like to say that I prefer the PS3 controller, but I'm fine with Xboxes as well. The ones I have the most problems with are the Wii. It's not very accurate and too oddly shaped, and the computer mouse for games. Have a nice day. So we have one person who loves the Wiimote and one person who doesn't love the Wiimote so much.
I don't know. I'm a fan of all of them, really.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't like really the fat old Xbox controller.
But the newer and I, of course, despise the PlayStation controllers.
Yes.
With a passion that burns brighter than 1,000 exploding suns.
Well, I have very short fingers, so it doesn't bother me so much.
I've got freakishly long fingers. Well, thank you very much, Hayden and Eric. We appreciate your mail. If any of you wish to mail us, you can do so at our address, which is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. If you want to learn more about television cables, HD, TV, that kind of stuff, we got plenty of that at howstuffworks.com. And I would like to remind our listeners, if you want to see us live, actually see video that involves Chris and yours truly discussing the latest tech news, you can tune in Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to the Tech Stuff blogs at howstuffworks.com. We put up a link and you can watch video as we talk about the latest news. And we have amazing special effects provided by Matt Frederick. And I hope you guys are having a great one. Crispy and I, we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new Tech Stuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed.
The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.